Tonight's a good evening for y'all, and we're just honored, and we appreciate you choosing to come tonight, and to honor our Lord, to worship, to be encouraged about this time. I hope you'll be thinking about coming tomorrow. Tomorrow will be at 10 a.m. We'll be having a special service as well. Appreciate the good job Tommy's done tonight. We have an even more special service tomorrow, honoring Jesus, and approaching Christmas, the message tomorrow will be approaching it from a different perspective you may not have heard before. And so I'm trying to keep it a little different and fresh for everybody. Because, you know, we've heard these texts. We've heard the story. We've heard it so many times that it's almost like, you know, yeah. I've heard it. Yeah. The angel, yeah. Shepherds, okay. And it just kind of blows over us. Tonight I want you to think about maybe a different perspective tonight. I want you to see something maybe tonight that you've never seen before. I want to put you in the shoes of Joseph and Mary. And I want you to feel their emotions. I want you to feel things from their perspective. And I want you to walk out tonight understanding that those two, Joseph and Mary, exhibited radical obedience to God. And it's something that God is calling us to as well in this day and age. Let's pray together as we begin. Father, tonight we just want to honor your precious son. And we want to honor that babe in the manger. The baby in the cattle trough. And we're amazed, Father, that you would choose to be born in such poverty. And that, Lord, you would choose to walk among us. Open our eyes tonight, Lord, to all the wonderful things that you're doing in our lives, and tonight in the hearts and the lives of Joseph and Mary. In Jesus' name, amen. If you look in Luke 1, it's interesting that in verse 34 you find Mary, after the angel tells her, you're going to give birth to God in the flesh, she says, how will this be? How will this be? For I'm a virgin. Notice she has a different response than John the Baptist's daddy, Zechariah. Zechariah says, well, I'm not so sure about that. Angel Gabriel had appeared to him as well and said, your wife will give birth to the prophet who shall introduce the world to the Son of God. And he's like, how can I be sure of this? Notice the difference in the response, the faith that one exhibits and the other has doubts. And it's interesting, the priest working in the temple is the one that should have the faith, while Mary should be the one that doubts, but it's the flip side. Mary is the one that exhibits the incredible, mature faith. Now, if you had been Mary and you found out that you were pregnant, what would be the first thing to pop into your mind? You know, what am I going to tell my family? You know, what am I going to tell the community? Can you imagine the gossip? I don't think we can fathom what really went on there. The rejection that she and Joseph faced, real rejection. The moment when Gabriel appears to her, listen to her words. She says, I am the Lord's servant. May it be according to your word. That's an extremely bold statement to make. Whatever you want, Lord, I am here. I am your servant. Do it. Do what you will. Can you and I say that? Can we and I, you and I say, Lord, have your way with my life. I'll do whatever you want me to do. Just show me what you want me to do. Are we like Zechariah, where we say, how can I be sure of this? Mary was engaged to marry Joseph, okay? In Jewish culture in the first century, as most of you know, engagement was as binding as marriage, and the only way to break the engagement would be through divorce. Now, there would be ceremony, usually done by the father in the home, and then the announcement would be made to the community. This couple, Joseph and Mary, are planning to get married, and the community would rejoice. There would probably be some prayers of that kind of nature. Now, I want you to imagine if a man was engaged to a woman and suddenly he discovers that she is pregnant, the man had the right to stone his wife to death. He had the right. And I think a majority of men chose that route rather than suffering the shame along with the woman. It's interesting what kind of person Joseph was. You know, if you had been Joseph, now put your shoe on the other foot here. If you had been Joseph, what would have been the first thing to come to your mind? You know, Mary comes to you and says, I'm pregnant. Oh, really? No, I'm pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Yeah, right. Anybody would look at that and go, what? They would certainly look at that and not have trouble believing it. And do you think anyone really believed Mary? Let's be honest. Did anyone really believe her? I think not. She was alone in her faith. And let me tell you something, how God works in our lives. God shows up at inconvenient times in our lives. Mary wasn't expecting this. She's a teenager. She's young. She has her whole life looking forward to. And God shows up in her life unannounced. Oh, by the way, you're going to give birth to the Son of God. God likes to show up in our lives when we least expect it. And He often will challenge us to do something, to trust Him when everything else says don't. And Mary, you got to admire her faith here. It's interesting that Mary decides to go to her cousin Elizabeth's house. You know, Elizabeth is old in her age, probably 70s, 80s, okay? Too old to have a child. Angel Gabriel has appeared to her, appeared to Zechariah, her husband, and said, you're going to give birth to the prophet who will announce the world that Jesus is coming. And so Elizabeth is already 6 months pregnant, as the text we heard Keith share with us tonight. And I find it interesting that Mary goes to her. How does she greet her? Look in verse 39 of chapter 1. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? How does she know this? Nobody has talked to her about this. How did she know? Her cousin enters the room and she immediately says, oh, I'm so blessed to be in your presence. You know, who am I? You know, you're going to give birth to my Lord. Wow. That's amazing. She says in verse 44, as soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. John the Baptizer. He's already excited about Jesus. He's not even out of the womb yet. He's already excited. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill His promises to her. God knew that Mary needed encouragement at this point in her life. Can you imagine being a teenager, suddenly becoming pregnant? What are you going to tell the community? What are you going to tell Joseph? What are you going to tell your family? He knew that she needed encouragement. So God obviously sent her to Elizabeth to be encouraged. I believe you. That had to have been so comforting to Mary. And Mary stayed with her cousin for 3 more months, obviously waiting for the birth of John the Baptizer. So now Mary decides to return to Joseph, return to her community. And I want you to notice something. She returns to Joseph. He doesn't know yet, obviously. Maybe not. I don't think he probably knew yet about her pregnancy. The community did not know about it. And here she returns. She boldly obeys God. She faced Him knowing that God was in control. And this brings us to the one point I want you to walk away with tonight, okay? One simple understanding, thing I want you to understand. Mary obeyed God and she left the outcome to Him. she obeyed him and said, Lord, you're in charge. I'll do what you want me to do. Even if the whole place rejects me, I'm going to do what you want me to do. I think sometimes we try to control too much, to manipulate our circumstances. Mary did not. That trip back to Joseph, can you imagine what that was like? Put yourself in her shoes. Have you ever had to tell somebody some really bad news? Have you ever had to tell somebody something you knew they did not want to hear? And you're driving there, or you're walking to their house or whatever, and you're just going in your mind, you're like, oh man, I just want this to be over with. You know, this is what she's doing, going back to Nazareth. Can you imagine how stressed she was? How do you think Mary was received? Did they immediately see her, you know, her that she was showing 3 months possibly? Or did she gather Joseph's family together and tell them? We don't know. We do know how Joseph responds. Look at Matthew 1. Matthew chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Other versions say Joseph was a righteous man. Okay? It's obvious that he loved the Lord. It's obvious that he loved Mary. But you can imagine, this must have hurt him deeply. Can you imagine? And he has every right to stone her. And we don't understand this in our culture. But there's a lot of pressure on the man right here to do what the law commands to be done. Okay? Joseph has a choice. He decides, no, I'm going to bear this shame with the woman that I love. And this tells you how much Joseph really loves his wife, Mary, his wife. I've often wondered, it says in verse 20, but after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, that you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. I have often wondered why the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and not in person. Does it make you wonder? I mean, the angel appeared to Mary. He didn't appear to Joseph. He appeared to Joseph in a dream. I do know that the dream was enough for Joseph. He simply obeyed. And we look at that and we pass over it really quickly, but I want you to put yourself in his shoes tonight, and I want you to say to yourself, men, could you have done the same thing? Could you have said, I trust the Lord in this, and I'm going to obey? We forget that Joseph and Mary were ordinary human beings, sinners, imperfect, just like you and I, no different. And yet God used them in a powerful way. Can you imagine how the community in Nazareth responded to Mary's pregnancy? I mean, lots of gossip, guys. Lots of whispering. You can imagine, because in the first century, adultery and fornication, having sex before marriage, getting pregnant before marriage, was a pretty big deal. Today we look at it and, you know, we said, oh, okay, it doesn't shock us. In the first century, it shocked. Stares in the marketplace, can you imagine the things that they dealt with? I can't even imagine. We can ask them one day what it was like. You know, can you imagine how her parents felt? How could she do this to us? You know, she had to face her family, she had to face Joseph, the community, all those things. But yet she obeyed God and left the outcome to him. That is radical obedience. That is trusting God no matter what. After the visit of the Magi, after Jesus is born in Bethlehem, Mary and Joseph depart for Egypt because King Herod is killing all of the boys 2 years and under in Bethlehem. An angel of the Lord again warns Joseph in a dream, you need to go to Egypt. And what does Joseph do? He obeys. He goes. Can you imagine what was going through his mind? Man, what have I signed up for on the way to Egypt? I'm sure Mary was thinking the same thing. Man, what is going on with this? You got to understand something. They were gone from their home in Nazareth for many years. We're not talking a couple months here. This is going on a couple years now. Finally, a few years later, King Herod dies. The angel tells them to return to Nazareth. What do you suppose was it like for Joseph and Mary when they finally return to Nazareth? They come back to their hometown. Hey, where you guys been? Can you imagine the response of their family? They got a child. They've been gone for a couple years. I mean, they didn't have email. They didn't have cell phones. They couldn't send a letter. They had to explain themselves. And can you imagine, what did their family think? Boy, they've gone off their rocker. Now they're both saying the angel thing. Or maybe their parents did say, we believe you and we trust you. I bet it was a difficult time for them. And we often forget that Joseph and Mary were ordinary people, just like us. Struggled with emotions, struggled with their faith. Granted, they should be respected, not worshipped, but respected. So what do we learn tonight about obedience and faith? That's just what I want you to leave with tonight. When you step out in faith and when you obey God, a lot of times people are not going to like what you're doing. They're going to not like the fact that you feel a certain way about certain issues that are important to this world today. We have to remember, too, that we serve an audience of one. One. I'm not here to please anybody but God. And the people that we work with, the people we go to school with, we have to remember that God doesn't want us to become people pleasers. He wants us to become God pleasers. And ultimately, what matters is what God thinks about my life, not what Joe Blow thinks about my life. And what matters is how I treat people, how I love people, my walk with God, my faith. Those are all things that are much more important. So let's learn an important lesson tonight from Joseph and Mary. Let's obey God, and let's leave the outcome to Him. Let's pray. Father, tonight we ask that you help us have that same spirit of obedience that Joseph and Mary had, especially when it comes time to step out in faith and do the difficult thing, to be different from the world, to be separate from the world, to say no when everyone else is saying yes. We pray, Father, tonight that you will help us be your people that please you, and help us be people that are filled with your Spirit and bring you glory in all that we do. We love you, Lord, and we honor you tonight, and we thank you for Joseph and Mary and their wonderful example of obedience. In Jesus' name, amen.